You know, there are. Let me start over. Yeah. One of the cool things about being an old man who likes his cable television is that instead of, oh, what am I going to watch? I'm scrolling through ESPN Plus or Disney Plus or Netflix. I'm a channel flipper, right? And so, like, the other night, I caught this great E60 that Jen Latta did about Galarraga's perfect game that Jim Joyce ruined with the missed call.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. I would have never seen it otherwise. But one of my favorite things, hey, somebody's dog other than mine for once on Wilde and Tausch. One of my favorite things is to scroll through on a Saturday night and land on a football game that I wouldn't normally watch. Because I hear this guy's voice, though, I stay on it. And that voice belongs to Jeff Levering, who also, on occasion, calls Brewers games on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I would say on more than one occasion I call Brewers games. I'd say that is the primary position. And that's where I am right now, in lovely, cloudy Pittsburgh at the moment.
Are you capable of talking like a pirate?
Oh, great question.
I've been told that I can talk like a pirate.
So much better than Tausch, who sounds like a leprechaun
when
he tries.
I always go end up like Jamaican or Irish whenever my pirate voice goes. What's the key to doing a good pirate voice?
I think the key is just don't care about what other people think and just go for it. That's what I do.
Yeah. Ahoy, matey. Aye then, matey.
All right, before we get to Tausch is terrible.
I care about that. That was not good. I love you, buddy. That was bad.
That's fair, Jeff. I respect your opinion on that.
I am curious. One, I don't want to call it housekeeping because this is a little bit of a announcer nerd question for you, but it'll help Jesse, which is really all that Jesse cares about on the show. Is there a big difference between your days of calling baseball on the radio and now that you're almost exclusively a TV guy, it feels like. Is there a big difference in how you go about your job?
Yes, there is. There is a different way to call a game on TV as there is on radio, and I find it a bit more difficult to go back to the radio side because your word count expands so much when you're doing radio. And difficult is probably not the right word to say. It's just different. I know it more. I've done more games on radio than I've ever done on television, so it's an easier thing for me to do to go back to the radio style and describing everything, but definitely the word count is down when you do it on TV because people are seeing what you're describing. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to say how many bounces the ball takes to get out to short, you know, as you would on radio to try and get it in the listener's mind's eye, right? You could just say to short. That's it. That's all you have to say. Sort of first got him. That's all you have to do. Whereas on radio, you're describing every play. So there is a difference. Plus, you're doing all nine innings when you're doing TV. You got to work with guys like Vinny Rotino and Tim Dillard and Rock. And, you know, you're navigating the different personalities. But there is a different style altogether when you're doing TV against radio.
Jeff, how do you look at, and I'm not putting this on anybody, but when you end up starting to do a new program that has been really good, like dominant over a 5-year period of time, and then someone takes over the pre and post game shows of that program on the radio, and then they can't beat anybody. When does it start becoming personal? Like maybe it's me. Does that ever come into your mind? Because there might be someone on this panel that decided to add more work to their deal, and now this team, which has been a national championship contender for years, is struggling, and there's only one difference that I can tell, and that is who does the pre- and post-game shows.
Yeah, there's a common thread there. You know what? I wouldn't take it personally. I really wouldn't.
All right.
I say that because we have no scratch in it. No matter what we say as broadcasters, pre- and post-game show, in-game, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we do not dictate whether the team wins or loses. dictate how entertaining it can be. Mm-hmm. But if you feel like you've got a black cloud surrounding you,
that sounds
like a personal problem more than a team.
Yeah, thing. It almost feels karmically. Yeah, there's nobody in particular.
Yeah.
Just a hypothetical. Yeah.
There's no one in particular.
All right, Jeff, we need to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. That's why you're here. We appreciate you taking time out of this gloomy day in Pittsburgh to spend time with us. So let's get to it. And let's start with the start of the season. As you went into this season, you're around this team, you know this team. Did you – I love the quote from Pat Murphy. I don't know who he said it to. It might have been I don't remember. I don't want to give inaccurate credit. Where he said, just watch out. If you're not careful, these guys might believe themselves into being a contender. And that's exactly what happened. And that was said during spring training. What a great story this team is. What did you expect from this season? And then we'll get to what this has done to expectations now for the postseason next. But what did you expect, and how much has this team exceeded it?
Sure. I think that people nationally have underestimated this franchise for a really, really long time. And now here they are going to the postseason for the sixth time in the last 7 years. And Christian Yelich and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta, they've been around for all of this run right now, and they were recently on the Brewers Unfiltered podcast with Sophia and Adam McAlvey, and they were talking about it, and it's just everybody counts the Brewers out every year, and but for whatever reason the guys in the clubhouse, they don't care. Fine, you want to count us out, well, the heck with you, we're just going to go out and we're going to win again. And the combination has always been a great front office, and the coaching staff has been very consistent. Now, the players have been different, but you have those three guys that are right in the middle of everything of this clubhouse. And they just create such a winning culture in there where everybody belongs. Everybody feels like they have the right role. And they just play their best within this organization. And they've done an unbelievable job of building this culture within this franchise in Milwaukee. And again, I just feel like everybody underestimates this team year in and year out, and then lo and behold, at the end of the season, who's waving the championship flag? For three of the last 4 years, it's been the Brewers. This team has played two games since the beginning of the 2017 season that have not had playoff implications. Two total games since the beginning of the 17 season. That tells you what winning is like and what winning culture is all about.
Jeff, it's been a great season. The postseason obviously stands on its own, but what has been the secret sauce for this team? Because you mentioned Yelich has missed time, Williams missed time. What's the secret sauce? Why has this team had the success that they've had, at least into the regular season as it's winding down?
You know, everybody asks me that same question. No matter where we go, whether we see a team within our division or somebody that we haven't seen since spring training or somebody from the American League that trains down in Florida, every broadcaster or visiting writer will always come up to us and say, how is your team winning? Mm. And the greatest question is that it's a collection. It's a group that has just bound together. Yeah, how many teams use 17 different starting pitchers over the course of the season, have 12 different guys that have a save and win a division? Not many. Now, the Dodgers have used a bunch of starting pitchers. I get that, too. But they've got more money than Godzilla does. So, I mean, it's incredible. But nonetheless, this team is really a throwback team, to be honest with you. It's 1980s-style baseball where they run, where they put pressure on the defense. That's been the key to the offense. They just put pressure on the defense all the time. The bullpen has been fantastic. You mentioned Devin's been out for the majority of the season, but guys stepped up. It's a bunch of guys that have been designated for assignment over the course of their career, so people have given up on them, and they've got this chip on their shoulder, and I think that's part of the secret sauce, too, is that nobody believes in these guys, and they're getting second opportunity to prove their worth, and they're going out there, and they are winning a ton of baseball games.
How much money does Godzilla have?
A lot.
The Dodgers have
a lot
more.
Of
The Dodgers have more is what I just learned.
Yeah, I'm so glad you were waiting on that. I'm waiting for somebody to go, yeah, Godzilla's got a lot of money, huh? That's incredible.
Well, if Godzilla had so much money, why was he destroying cities? Like, I don't fully understand that.
Because he had the money to rebuild the infrastructure.
Fun. Oh, is that what it is?
That was his business plan, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Cheap
it's
demo.
Just fun. I just want to go crush things and take on King Kong.
So, Jeff, our second favorite baseball, Jeff Passan, joined us last week and talked about what a great organization this is and how they've got it figured out. And by the way, they've done it with, you know, as Jeff Passan pointed out, without the owners spending lavishly to augment the roster. So when you look at what Matt Arnold has done with this roster and everything you just ran through, does he deserve the same type of credit that Tausch likes to give to Brian Gutekunst, that he's one of the best when it comes to GMs in this league?
I do think so, and what I love about Matt is he's extremely smart, and he surrounds himself with really smart people, but he has a scouting background to where guys pass the eye test for him. As opposed to just plugging numbers into a computer and spitting out, okay, this is the guy we should have because of this. He can look at somebody and say, this guy's going to fit with us. And that's a big part of it, too. They could go out and they could spend and they could go get a guy that's $20 million a year if they want to. They have the money to do it if they wanted to do that. But does he fit in that clubhouse? And that's something that a scout sees. A scout sees body language. A scout sees how they interact with their teammates. They see how they're going to improve a roster. So for Matt Arnold to have that background, I think is really, really important. But he connects with everybody, too. That's the best part, is that he can go down to that clubhouse and he's spraying champagne on people and pouring beer down people's backs. But then he can also be the boss to have the hard conversation. He relates to everybody in such a great way. He's just a refreshing person to talk to. And that's, he's been around this entire time. Been here since 2016 when this whole thing started to really get turning. And he really does deserve a ton of credit for what he's put together with this entire front office and coaching staff.
So he's got both the best qualities of Billy Beane in Moneyball and Brad Pitt, and he's like the old curmudgeonly scout that Clint Eastwood plays in Trouble with the Curve. He's like both at once?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He can just hear it. He can hear the contact, right? The Trouble with the Curve. I can hear that there's something going on there. He just sees it differently. It's a really special combination.
All right, Jeff, last one for me. So how do you look at it? It's been an unbelievable regular season, and I think Brewers fans, we're all excited about it, but not a ton of postseason success. I think, Jesse, what is it, one win in I don't even know how many years.
Since the NLCS in 2018, one postseason win.
How is this Debbie team, in Downer. Your opinion, positioned to change that past history that we've seen the last couple of years?
I just think that this team is constructed differently. When you look at last year's team, they had the pitching, but the offense was suspect, and that played out over the course of the postseason. Kind of the same thing in 2021. Whereas the offense is more dynamic this year. You might not have all the sluggers, but you can score in different types of ways. You may not have the starters that you had in the past, but your bullpen might be more stacked with guys that can help you out at the back end of the game or in the middle of the game to bridge you to the back end guys. I just feel like that the Brewers match up. They can match up with anybody, and they have proven that over the course of the regular season. They can go out there and they can beat the best teams, and they can be competitive with everybody. So that's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on going into the postseason. I think that this squad, especially, you're going to have some home games too. The worst the Brewers can be is in that number three seed. So playing in front of the fans in Milwaukee is such a bonus for these guys too. One of the best home records in Major League Baseball for the last 10 years, and that's a credit to the fans and to the organization. But I just feel like this team's got a different feel to it this year going into the playoffs than it has in the past.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, what are the keys to that big matchup between Maryland and Indiana that you and Jake Butt will be calling on Saturday?
Great quarterback play. It's a really sneaky good game, too. I mean, Indiana is putting up 50 points a game. And Maryland's playing good football. Billy Edwards can sling it. I understand it. The weather looks kind of crappy on Saturday, so we'll see how that slows down some of these high-powered offenses. But it should be good. I've never done a football game in Indiana before, so I'm excited to go down to Bloomington. Actually, flying out after the game today to go to Bloomington.
Have you done a lot of games with Jake Butt?
This will be my fifth game with Jake, yes.
Okay. Because and have you ever listened to...
Go ahead.
No. You go.
This is my first year on the on this Big Ten package with Jake, so... We've done 4 weeks so far. This is week five for us.
So you've always helped Jesse, who really, I'm surprised that he doesn't think that he's the one who should be helping you. But I'm curious, Tausch obviously does the radio for the Badgers. I'm curious, what do you look for in a color analyst? And if Tausch ever wants to make the jump to TV, because you do both, would you be interested in maybe doing a game with old T?
Oh, I'd love to do a game with Tausch. That'd be a lot of fun.
He will wear CC Sabathia's pants in the booth with you, too.
Yes, yes, the sweatpants. Those are the best. Just make sure you wear a hat that has at least 20 years' worth of age on it for me. That's the key. No, just go in prepared. That's all I care about. We're going to have a good time. That's all it is. It's football, it's baseball, whatever it is. Just go have a good time. Sports, it's supposed to be fun.
Jeff, I will try not to randomly text you during games, which I tend to do every time I hear your voice. It's Pavlovian, like the dog at Tausch's house right now. We appreciate you a ton, and we look forward to the playoff run. You're the best, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate you guys. You're the best. Have a great one.
That is the outstanding Jeff Levering.